This is One North Stories. Our goal here is quite simple. We provide hyper-local, brand-based storytelling at the intersection of science, technology, and business here in Singapore with a global perspective. We are starting with a launch series focused on technology startups, and then plan to take the podcast broader, telling our stories, your stories, about the Singapore deep tech ecosystem. Whether you work as a venture capitalist on Sand Hill Road or in Southeast Asia, already doing R&D in Singapore, or perhaps a student dreaming big about technology, or someone in between, join us to learn about the exciting technology being developed in our labs in Singapore, their translation journeys to market, and the inspirational people coming together to make yesterday's dream reality. If you have future episode ideas, segment ideas, or want to partner with us on this exciting journey, please get in touch. Our contact details are in the show notes. These are our stories. We hope they inspire you to create your own. And now, on to the show. Moore's Law may be ending, but Richard Feynman told us there's plenty of room at the bottom. Let me subtly add, there's plenty of physics there too, both for silicon and beyond.
It has been quite a long effort that we have been working on skirmions, and in the initial breakthrough work that we had in 2017, it was the development of this industry-relevant multi-layer material platform where we could host zero-fuel skirmions. Being able to host zero-fuel skirmions, it was something that was relevant to how it could be integrated into the semiconductor industry.
The promise of skirmions started with its robustness or stability, right? So the skirmion is like a knot. It has this topological protection. It requires a certain amount of energy to destroy it.
Given the most important thing is the stability for the device.
So one of the main challenges for achieving such a stack that works in this skirmion tunnel junction device is that it has to be able to concurrently host the stable room temperature skirmions and at the same time enable us to detect them with a strong readout.
This episode is trying something a little different for One North Stories. Deep tech being cooked up in Singapore's labs. A new switching device, the skirmion MTJ, that is magnetic tunnel junction. It has electrical read-write. It operates at ambient temperatures with an easy-to-see signal. It is ultra-stable as a non-volatile memory element. It's fabricated on 200mm silicon. And oh yeah, it has ultra-low switching energy and can have more than two states per cell. Join us for a conversation with James Lauerbaum, Ho Pin, and Chen Xiaohai of IMRI, an A-Star research institution. This episode is instigated by the team's work being published in the journal Nature, March 2024. Enjoy the discussion. Hello and welcome to One North Stories. Today we have a special episode. I'm here interviewing a team from the Institute of Materials Research and Engineering about a very exciting piece of work that they have just published. It's about a memory device called the skirmion MTJ, and we're going to find out what that is and what the promise of this technology is, with an emphasis on the future of computing. So I want to welcome to the show James Xiaohai and Ho Ping. Welcome to One North Stories.
Thank you.
Hi. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
Can we get an introduction to this work? You know, give a brief lay introduction, like what is it? Why is it important? And yeah, how does this fit into the future of computing?
Okay, maybe I just give a quick introduction for the MTJ and the skirmion MTJ. So for the conventional MTJ, actually this is a binary memory devices, and it has two controllable electric stable magnetoresistance states, and these two states can be used to record the binary information 0 and 1. While in the skmTJ, new recording bits can be used. So the advantage of the skmTJ is low power consumption and high robustness and fast response. All of this make the skmTJ can be used for non-volatile memory and even for the brain-like computer. So I think for the SKMTJ, they can be used in the future battery-powered portable devices or some system where data persistence is required. So this is like the computer system. It can be used for the conventional and sustainable computer. And it can also be a good candidate for in-memory computer.
So just take a step back. MTJ is magnetotunnel junction device. It's a device architecture where the state is controlled by the magneto resistance of the device. And so usually it's like on or off, zero or one. And like two states in a traditional device. And so your device has the potential for more than two states. And then the second one is the energy to switch the device. That's correct?
Yeah, correct. That one is much lower than the conventional one.
Okay, when you say much lower, in the paper, it's 1,000x lower, right?
Yeah, correct. We give the number about the switch energy, and we compare with the conventional MTG. Yeah, the power consumption is nearly 1,000 times smaller.
Okay. And so if we wanted to relate this back to, let's say, compute cells that we have now, is the current MTJ that you're comparing to, is that in any commercial devices?
So yeah, so the current MTJ, one of the more famous example is the one produced by Everspin. This technology is in fact inside the Mars rover, but of course not as advanced as what is being used, like for example in our RAM, like 8GB or something. So it hasn't gone that density, but it has other superior advantages that is already in the product.
Okay. Where it would be an ideal place in the memory hierarchy of computing? Is this like long-term stable memory, you know, days and days like our NVMe, like flash? Or is it like RAM where we have the very high speeds, you know, nanosecond switching, but, you know, high energy consumption required to kind of keep the state? Or maybe even closer in like a cache where it's right next to the CPU, again, very fast, but then high energy to maintain the states or switch the states.
So if we are talking about the Skrmion MTJ,
yes.
So the speed we have demonstrated so far is 10 nanoseconds, which would go as far as what is in the DRAM now.
Okay.
So the RAM. So it's possible that we may find that it could be done at even lower speeds, but currently, the speed that we have would fit into either RAM or something of a buffer in between.
Okay. And these are 10 nanoseconds is what you've measured in the lab?
So far.
So far. Yeah. Okay. Is there any fundamental limit that you found? Like, is there like, yeah, physics that block you from going, let's say, below 1 nanosecond?
So far, the limit of 10 nanosecond is imposed by our materials optimization. So we think that with the better material optimization, we can go down to lower pulse widths. There may be some other physics that we may find low pulse widths, but so far as we think that it's materials optimization.
You haven't found that yet.
Yeah.
That reminds me of, from a physics perspective, we always hear like, sometimes you just keep measuring, and you keep dropping your measurement limit, and you can then, you know, find new phenomena.
Mm.
Measuring noise decade after decade after decade. And as instrumentation got better and better, you know, the noise floor kept dropping, and then they found the signal eventually.
Yeah, so in terms of physics, the major guidance for magnetization speed is determined by the Landau-Lipschitz-Gilbert equation. So there, that says how fast a spin can process around a certain point. So that is, in fact, in about, you know, 1 nanosecond. So we believe that with high probability between at least still 1 nanosecond, it's a good chance.
Okay.
So we can't be sure about that, but yeah.
Okay, great. So we're talking potentially a switching device, a potential DRAM replacement as a first iteration, sub 10 nanoseconds to 1 nanosecond. But then the big promise beyond that is the multiple states that the device could take. Let's take half a step back and have a proper introduction to the team. So, who wants to start first?
Okay, maybe I start first because I'm a fresh guy in this team. My name is Shaohai Chen, and I joined ISTAR in 2021. So I got my PhD in China, Fudan University, and I joined US to do my postdoc job in 2016. And actually, in my most work, I focused on the conventional MTG-related study. And once I joined ISTAR, I joined this team and started the SKMTG study. I think this is all.
Hi, my name is James Torimbo. I did my PhD from Nanyang Technological University, Singapore, and I joined the ASTAR first in Data Storage Institute and later in Institute of Materials Resource Engineering. So my tenure started in 2015. And in between, I also went for a Marie Curie Individual Fellowship from University of Manchester.
Hi, I'm Hopin. So I joined ASTAR in 2016 and I've been roped in for the SCOMIN project and has since been one of the areas that I've been working on. So a bit more about my background is that I received my PhD in NUS, Material Science and Engineering. And subsequently, with the support of the ASTAR International Fellowship, I did a postdoctoral stint in MIT. So my prior experience has largely been on the field of spintronics.
Let's talk, what were you guys working on, or what is the prior art for this work, and how did it come together?
Yeah, so we could say that the prior art started with the development of the magnetic tunnel junction itself, which the Scarmion magnetic tunnel junction falls under. So the work itself on the MTGA device fabrication and development started since 2012. And we first developed this nano-sized MTGA around 2013-2014. And this particular stack, so this particular Scarmion MTGA has different layer components. One of them is called the pin structure. So the pin structure where what we are using in this Scarmion MTGA has a particular configuration where it sits on the top. So this top pin structure came over in 2017. And the Scarmion stack, which is the storage stack, the stack we're using now, was developed around 2015. So that's the technology part. In terms of capability, we had to develop some new capabilities specifically for this project. This did not exist in our institute before. And we developed several types of magnetic microscopy. And just to name a few, those are magnetic force microscopy, Lorentz transmission microscopy, and magneto-optic Kerr effect microscopy.
So these microscopy techniques, again, it's about trying to, I'll go back to lowering the noise floor of what you can actually measure?
So these microscopies were developed just to establish that we have the right material stack so that before electrical detection, we first need to see optically whether we can see the scarmion or not. Then once we establish using optics, then we go back to electrical methods.
Okay, to establish that you have the phenomena in place.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And then so what are some of the, let's say, ongoing R&D efforts of the team?
Okay. It has been quite a long effort that we have been working on scarmions. And in the initial breakthrough work that we had in 2017, it was the development of this industry-relevant multi-layer material platform where we could host zero-fuel scarmions. So there, being able to host zero-fuel scarmions, it was something that was relevant to how it could be integrated into the semiconductor industry. And additionally, we could also be tuning the sizes, density, and stability. So this led on to quite a bit of intensive effort subsequently to understand also scarmion phenomenon, differentiating the behaviors from regular domain walls without chirality. And we have also proceeded in directions whereby we look into the machine learning of this sort of material platform to accelerate the development of scarmionic materials. So that's on the materials front. And separately, on the device level, we have also examined pretty closely into different kinds of confined device-relevant geometries, such as in wires that are relevant to racetrack memories, as well as dot devices relevant to crossbar architectures. So notably, in one of our work in possibly 2019, we look into the dynamics and motion of the scarmions in wired devices. And this was actually one of the first demonstrations of electrical means of manipulating the scarmions in devices. So this combination of materials as well as device-level efforts by the team in understanding scarmion phenomenology, I would say it has enabled this eventual breakthrough in developing the scarmionic tunnel junction.
Okay, so you were doing wire devices. Like, what would be the length of one of those?
So in paper, if I'm not wrong, it was 20 micrometers long, but in practice, it could be much longer.
And then so the current So that's observing the skirmion phenomenon, again, along the wire.
Yes, or movement.
Movement of the skirmion along the wire. And now the MTJ is kind of like a pillar, right? Ultimately. And so then it's observing the skirmion in place.
Yes. Is it? Confined within a kind of structure that is this light.
Okay.
So we are looking at creating and then deleting skirmions within this pillar for the current work.
Okay, great. And so I understand, like, the current work, you guys are working on an 8-inch platform for your nanofabrication. That's a very big wafer to be using. Did you guys start out with, let's say, small coupon weight type wafers and work your way up to 8-inch? Can you explain a little bit about the journey to get to such a large platform that could be potentially translated to manufacturing?
Yeah, so we actually started with 4-inch wafers.
Okay.
And we transitioned to 8-inch. We already had developed similar magnetic tunnel junction technologies for the past several years. Compared to, let's say, other universities or other labs, we needed less iteration to transition to a big wafer.
Okay, great. So in reading the paper, again, going back to this high-level promise of the memory device, from my background research, right, this has always been the promise of skirmions as a memory device. Is that correct, or anything else to add on the promise of skirmions?
Yeah, so the promise of skirmions actually started with its robustness or stability, right? So the skirmion is like a knot, and it has this topological protection. So it requires a certain amount of energy to destroy it. So the stability of this skirmion, that was the promise, and that's why people started to look for devices related to this. And Hobin mentioned about this movement of skirmions inside a wire. In this device configuration, the skirmions were moved compared to other magnetic devices, moved with lower energy. So these were the two promises that came in before. So in principle, we did not set out to look for lower energy of switching in the magnetic tunnel junction itself, which we discovered this along the way. But as I mentioned, that the promise was a topological protection.
Okay, so the stability so that it's not easily switched. Essentially, or you could say long duration of the existing state.
We could look at also defects, right? So let's say when you make devices on a wafer scale, you have millions of devices, and there may be material defects that may cause some devices to, perform in an unconventional way, right?
Yes.
So this would be, if you have skirmions inside as the storage information, it is less likely to be disturbed by these defects. Yeah.
Okay, great. So now you guys have demonstrated this, right, in an actual device with some, I'll say, very attractive properties in your work that lead to the promise for this integration into the future of compute, right? You started out with optical probing of the device, but now you have electrical read-write. You have this easy-to-see readout signal. It operates at room temperature, ambient conditions. It's the stability that you've mentioned, right? It doesn't change state unless it's prompted. And you fabricated this on the 200 millimeter silicon oxide wafers that's compatible with CMOS, plus again, the promise of going beyond the two states per cell. Could you rank these points in, let's say, order of importance?
Maybe I just give the most important things is the stability for the device. So in our paper, actually, most of the data is just coming from one device, like in the probability, the reproducibility, repeatability, and for these devices, it's already been measured for more than 1,000 times, and it's always giving me the good results, the same results, until a few months later, I just repeat it, it's also giving me the same results. So actually, for MTJ, its write endurance actually should be higher than 10 to the power 15 times, and there is no read endurance. So I believe for the SKMTG, in our study, it should be quite good. It should have a good performance for the endurance.
So you said there's no read endurance. So, I mean, in principle, it should be like a forever memory. Going back, relating this to your future work, how long did it take for this work to come together? 1 year, 2 years, longer?
We took a very long while to materialize this. So I would say that one of the main challenges we had was largely in developing the material stack itself, which took us at least 3 years to realize this. So one of the main challenges for achieving such a stack that works in this Skirmion tunnel junction device is that it has to be able to concurrently host the stable room temperature Skirmions and at the same time enable us to detect them with a strong readout. So then our initial designs were unable to fulfill both attributes until the discovery of this hybrid stack, whereby each of this stack would have both of this attribute that we engineer them to couple together strongly. So it's akin to having two magnets put together with a strong north and south pole coupling. So with these two independent stacks, they behave as one to concurrently fulfill both nano-sized skirmions at ambient temperatures and at the same time be able to exhibit strong detection readout. So such transitions and iteration takes, say, every 3 weeks where we would need to develop the material, send it through fabrication, and then eventually test it.
So I'm hearing like you have this hybrid stack with, again, the two magnets that they kind of put together. Do you remember, how did you guys come up with that design? Was that just some eureka moment? How did that happen?
I would say it's a lot based on experience, based on the past papers that we have published on the different kinds of material platform. So for one, the first paper that we had on the Nature Materials paper, we developed a stack that was based on iridium, iron, cobalt, platinum. So that multi-layer stack exhibited very strong properties for us to stabilize skirmions. So that was one attribute that we were looking for. While a second Nature Communications paper, in that paper, we make use of a stack that utilizes magnesium oxide as the tunneling barrier. So that would enable strong detection signal. And it was based on experiences working on this two set of material stacks that we coupled this independent stacks together to form a hybrid stack for this particular work.
You want to talk a little bit about the measurements that you did to, figure out how the physics were working, how it was operating, and then, how to take it further.
Right, yes. So that was also another painstaking kind of effort, which lies in the development of this device imaging cryogenic scanning probe microscopy. So I think James mentioned earlier that for us to ascertain that we are detecting skirmions with an electrical signal, we have to first make sure that skirmions are present. And the way to do it is to confirm it and verify it using optical approach, or I would say visual approach, which in this case, we are making use of the magnetic probe microscope. So it is especially challenging in our case because historically, it has been difficult to image sub-100 nanometer skirmions in tin-free layers. And this doesn't help that we have a thick top layer stack in this tunnel junction, which creates an extremely weak stray field from the skirmions. So I would say that we are arguably one of those in the world that have developed such a high precision technique where we have leveraged on the cryogenic setup, single pass mode, super sharp tips, amongst other tweaking and optimization of the scanning probe microscopy.
Okay, was this the scanning probe microscopy, say refinement, was that done like all in-house or in partnership with the manufacturer of the microscope?
This was all done in-house.
So again, we talked a bit about the physics, the nanofabrication, and the measurement, and then right this iterative cycle. That's much more work than even the three of you can do. So can you talk a little bit, how does the team operate in pulling all these techniques together to kind of iterate on a cycle and then bring the information together to improve each iteration?
Right. So this work definitely required a diverse team of scientists and engineers. So we have physicists and material scientists coming together to conceptualize this idea. And people with deep experience in developing commercial magnetic tunnel junctions and skirmions to marry both ideas into this skirmionic tunnel junction. And we have specialists who have expertise in the 200 nanometers fabrication line to help deliver such high-yield industry-grade skirmionic tunnel junctions. And also experts who work in the transport measurements and microscopy to help to characterize and analyze these devices. And such as for this work, we would generally require a very closed-loop cycle of development that is supported by systematic workflow and a feedback loop.
Okay, I want to then talk a little bit about what's next for the team. We can take this maybe answer in two different directions. First, let's say, what's next for the science? What experiments are planned? Is there an end goal for the science? And then second, for the application or engineering space of the Skirmion MTJ?
Okay, I may focus on the scientist part. So actually the first step we want to achieve is realize the field-free switching in the SKMTJ. So if you take a look of our paper, the switching still need a little bit external benefit to assist the switching. And this is not preferred in the really application. So next step, we'll try to achieve this all electrical switching in SKMTJ. And I think the next step is study the switching dynamic and further achieve the multi-bit switching. So for the dynamic study, we want to understand what happens between the different magneto-resistant states in the SKMTJ. So this will help us to further optimize the material, the stack, and the switching mechanism. And for the multi-bit switching, in our current paper, we're just realizing the uniform state and the skirmish state switching, and the switching between skirmish state is still on the way. So this is for some part we want to achieve in the future.
So I guess to add on to what Xiao has mentioned, in the longer run, what we hope is to probably explore a path of prototyping, as well as we are really keen on translating this to the semiconductor industry.
Okay, so in prototyping and then translation to device makers potentially, what type of partners would you need to get that done?
So if we are talking about this long-term technology development, we always approach in the form of a pyramid. So we have materials at the bottom, then you have devices, then you go to circuits and algorithms at the top, and you can fill up this pyramid. So at IMRI, we are doing the legwork on materials and devices. And to go to the higher level, the next level, the circuit, so that would help that one, we will need the help of circuit designers and to get the actual CMOS wafer where we can put our Skirmion MTJ, we will need help from foundries. And finally, we think that to connect the circuit, to talk to the circuit, the proper algorithms should be developed.
Okay, thanks. So I want to come and now, as we wrap up, circle back to the beginning, this ultimate promise of the Skirmion MTJ. In the manuscript, you guys talk about unconventional computing, sustainable computing. What does this mean to you?
I think, firstly, we need to know what is unconventional computing and what is sustainable computing. For the unconventional computing, the one key to achieve it is to go in beyond the binary logic. So this is something we can achieve in our SKMTJ, which provides more than binary recording. And for the sustainable computing, actually the main achievement for it is achieve low energy consumption. And you can see in our paper already promised the power consumption in our SKMTJ is nearly 1,000 times lower than the general MTJ. So for our SKMTJ, I think the advantage is using the Skirmion texture, which has the topological stability, nanoscale size, and the low energy manipulation, and the low power consumption, and the multi-bit manipulation for the Skirmion could help achieve the unconventional and sustainable computing.
Okay, great. So potentially unlocking new paradigms, absolutely new paradigms of compute. Okay, before we wrap up, anything you guys want to plug in additional to what we've already discussed today?
So I would plug on another project that we're working on, which is also on the magnetic tunnel junction, but it's a different type of magnetic tunnel junction called the spin orbital magnetic tunnel junction. So on this technology, we have demonstrated switching up to 1 nanosecond, which fits closer to the catch memory type of application. And we have done this also on an array with the CMOS or 16 kilobit memory.
Okay, so I mean, just to confirm for our audience then, this device, it's faster than the Skirmion MTJ right now. It's already integrated into CMOS. And so the difference would be the long-term stability. I mean, just from a very lay perspective.
Yeah, so we could say topological protection, it's there. So we could, in fact, combine these two technologies together. So because this technology, spin orbit top, is about the writing mechanism. So potentially within the, while the Skirmion MTJ is a phenomenal mechanism, this is a writing mechanism. So we could in fact combine it in future. Yeah, so one more point about the difference with the spin-orbital is that the Skirmion also exhibits multi-states.
So I guess on similar notes, we are also working on the concept of a compound MTJ. So imagine having arrays of Skirmion tunnel junctions on a common right line. So that would be able to mimic brain synapses and artificial neural networks with high connective accuracies. And on a separate line of thought, we have also been working on skirmionic racetrack concepts that looks into the movement and motion of these high-speed skirmions, which can be implemented as spiking neural networks. So we hope that the audience would look forward to our upcoming work.
Okay, great. So where can our audience find out if they wanted to reach out and connect? What's the best way?
I think the best way should be the Emory Electronic Material Department, and there is Speed's website that you can find it.
Okay, great. And one thing that we forgot, share with us, who's your funding source for this work?
Okay, so I think we really have to acknowledge the funding source that has enabled us to carry out this work. We are funded by the Spotlight Programmatic, which is supported by the Singapore RIE 2020 Initiative.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for your time today. And we wish you all the best with your, let's say, near-term and far-term endeavors.
Okay. Thanks, Ruben.
Thanks.
And with that, thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please help to grow the show by sharing with a friend or colleague. Please also hit like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to look out for future episodes as we explore the intersection of science, technology, and business in Singapore together.